Hebrews 13, and I want to read beginning of verse 7 through the rest of the chapter. If you would, let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the Word of God to you, whose faith followed considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar in which those who have served or who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us. We are confident. We have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, verse 20, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words, knowing that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you would bless this exposition, this reading out of your word. I pray that you would be with me, that I might be your servant and mouthpiece, and that your spirit, Father, would give us all ears, that we might hear your word rightly. Press it upon us. Teach us your ways. Shape us, mold us, and equip us as your people. Father, we pray for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As of today, this young church body will have, as found in numerous places in the New Testament scriptures, a plurality of elders. We come this afternoon for this service to set apart what will be the second elder of this body. And we come to a passage of Scripture this morning that deals with elders and leaders, and servants of the church, and the church body. We're dealing with here in this passage, there is a word to the people of God, and a word to those that serve the people of God. There's an overarching theme of humility in this passage. I'll point out here in a moment. But what we're seeing here is life. I've preached through the book of Hebrews before, and it really struck me how what we're seeing here in this closing section, we're seeing life in the kingdom community. In fact, it was very fitting that God in his providence had all these readings concerning the kingdom here this afternoon. If you notice, for instance, in the previous chapter, in chapter 12, he not only mentions the church in verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. And then in verse 28, he says, therefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. This section is built upon that reality of the church and Mount Zion, that heavenly Jerusalem, that kingdom of God. And this here is the kingdom community. And in these closing words, these closing exhortations, there is a word concerning that kingdom. Notice even like verse 1, chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners, as if chained with them, and those who ministered, since you yourselves are in the body also. And when we get to verse 7, we have some final pastoral exhortations concerning godly leadership that's directed to the eldership, the leaders of the church, and to the church body. There is a corporate word here. What I mean by that is if you notice, like, for instance, even in verse 16, but do not forget to do good and to share. The word for share there, the original is koinonia. The communal body of Christ's church. The koinonia. The fellowship. And it's sprinkled with, all throughout this chapter, you find this expression, we and your leaders, in the plural. That he's speaking to them as a congregation. And so he's addressing the covenant community of God's people. He's addressing them as God's people. He's addressing them as the kingdom community, as that he just spoke about in chapter 12. And in this sense, in chapter 13, we're seeing that this is really the day-to-day life and activities of the early church and should be for the church today. And what struck me, and the Lord has impressed it upon me even in a greater fashion, as I'm going, as I progressively preach through books and through the years, you begin to see the emphasis upon the covenant community, the koinonia, the fellowship, and God working through His ministers, through the elders, in the church body, in its giftedness, by His Spirit. And that what takes place is that there are character traits. There's character shaping of the people of God that in some capacity only takes place within the context of community. You'll find that again and again in the New Testament. How vital community is. And what God is doing in the context of community through His Word, through His Spirit, and through the leadership and the giftedness of the individual members. It's really incredible. And here we find life in that community and God's working in that community. Verse 7, it probably jumped out to you in relating to what we're here for this afternoon. Remember those who rule over you. That expression is found in verse 17 again. Obey those who rule over you. The writer clearly has in mind that there is leadership that he's addressing. This apostle is addressing the leadership and the community, the congregation, pertaining or concerning that leadership. The humility is seen here in the way that the leaders are to serve. But also the humility is seen in how the congregation, the people of God, respond to the service of those that have been set over them. And again, there's something about this that in our American culture and in the Western culture that we struggle with. We don't like people to rule over us. We don't like to obey others. We don't like kings. That's an American trait. And yet, we have the very language of a kingdom here. The kingdom has a what? A king. And the king delegates authority to people in his kingdom to serve him. And so the kingship and the lordship of Christ is expressed in the kingdom. We're even seeing here. It's expressed in the church. It's expressed in the church primarily through God's ordained authority structure. Oh yes, it's the word of the king. We know that from which is found in our Bibles. But there's also those that are placed in the kingdom who live and who teach the word of the king. And they have been given a authoritative position in the church. So again, before I look at these particular verses, I want to remind you that as we look at this, there is this overarching principle of humility that's found here for leaders and for the people of God. There's a realization, and don't miss this, there's a realization that within the covenant community and in the growth and maturity of the body in the context of community, that there is a understanding, a maturing, and a, by faith, receiving of one's calling, one's gifting, one's being set in place by Christ in the church, and being obedient to that, whatever that status may be in the church. Being obedient to it, and a sense of being satisfied in that. That is growing in maturity in its understanding. There's the power of the keys that have been given to the apostles in the church. I don't know if Jeff's talked about those keys before. I guess he has. They're in your constitution. The power of the keys. There's those that have the key of an authority of doctrine in the life of the church. Those that rule. You'll find that that is that principle with the elders, the leaders of the church. They lead, they rule, and they feed. They expound upon the Word of God and share the Word of God. And this authority it can differ in the life of the eldership by virtue of their calling as a minister of the Word and of the Gospel and those that would rule in the life of the church. But they are to be God-ordained men, men set in place in the church, men that are called of God and men that are rightly gifted to that. And it is legal and it is authoritative when we speak of the power of the keys. It is legal and it is real. It's real. It's really authoritative. Again, we struggle with grasping that. We think that, you know, the marriage isn't really legal until I go downtown and get the marriage license. But the church has the power to bind. Whether it's church discipline, whether it's the marriage covenant, or whether it's the ordination of its leaders. It's binding by the authority of the church and through the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, it's this church body, the kingdom principles that are found here in this communal life, that the church grows in all of its facets, but it's usually tied to the ministry preeminently of the eldership. That is, Christ builds his church, yes, Matthew 16:18. He's ordained that it should be carried out, though, through his ordained means, his spirit-filled leaders. And so in that sense, we're seeing here a call of submission of the people of God to those leaders. And then we see the humility and service of those who have been called to serve and to lead. To acknowledge that. To not be embarrassed of that, but yet to rightly serve in humility. Watch this. For instance, verse 7. You begin to see this unfold. Verse 7. And I won't keep you long. Remember those who rule over you, who spoke the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Here's the beginning of directives to church leadership. It's stressed here in verse 7. You begin to see it also, or you do see it in verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Verse 18, there is this call for prayer, not only of the what we believe to be an apostle who penned this letter to this congregation of the congregations of the Hebrews, there to be prayed for. And we see in verse 24, greet all those who, again, rule over you or who lead you and all the saints. So this term leader is found here. Those who rule over you is found here. This is the Greek word that's underneath here is an English translation for the word leader, and it's a word that carried, it's not a typical word for overseer or elder. But the thought is clearly here. This is a Greek word that carries the idea of like a leader in the ancient world who was like a state official, like a prince. In the Septuagint, this word was translated for a religious, a political, and military leaders. So you have these leaders. As well, parents are elders, shepherds under the great shepherd of verse 20. Because these are shepherds that watch out for their souls, verse 17. These are shepherds that, verse 7, have spoken the word of God. Who does that? That's what elders do, don't they? It's clearly speaking of elders. But notice the directives to the congregation in relation to this leadership. They're to remember, they're to consider, they're in verse 17 to obey, they're to be submissive, verse 24 or verse 18, we'd say they are even to pray for them. Now, in this humility that covers this passage, we see it in the leaders here, but we're reminded of those other passages. They are under the great shepherd. Verse 20. That in itself creates a sense of humility. Now may the God of peace who brought up the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. In that sense, these elders and leaders are under shepherds, under the great shepherd. He is the one that Paul reminds Timothy in 1 Timothy that he will give an account one day, right? And that very, those very words themselves speak of humility. And if these leaders are true leaders by the grace of God, called and gifted, they understand grace and they understand the sovereignty and the freeness of not only grace, but of the gifting of this position that they've been called to. So in that sense, they are to be humble servants. Because the people are called to be obedient to them, not out of a bare fear, but by observing them. Watching them, knowing what they are and what they've been called to. In Mark chapter 10, verse 41, reminded of the humility and the standing of leaders in the church. Here, Daniel is to be reminded of this as he serves you and serves preeminently Christ in his church. And it said, when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John, but Jesus called them to himself and said, here's the language, much like what we read earlier. You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Now, again, the word that's used here in our text can be used of princes and military rulers of the world. But yet Jesus frames this very clear that when he speaks of his leaders, it's not like that of the world. What does he say? It shall not be so among you. So there are leaders, it's not like what the Gentiles have, like the Lord, like the world has, where they lord it over you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. He goes on to verse 44. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Leadership in Christ Church is to be followed after the great shepherd here in our text. It is to be modeled and served in the pattern of the Lord Jesus. Again, Peter would say in 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock among you, the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers. There's the language again. We get the word for like episcopalian from. To oversee. Not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And again, the scriptures emphasize humble servants of Christ under the great servant. Under the great shepherd. He says in verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So just those passages there, and looking at this in context of how they are to observe these leaders and remember these leaders and watch these leaders in light of the great shepherd, you begin to have a taste here of this attitude of humility and faithfulness of one, of leadership to the people, to Christ, and the attitude of the people of God to leadership. Let me just say again, concerning this authority here and this humble, these humble servants in the life of the church that are the elders and leaders. God, in His kingdom and in His world, has instituted and He has established in the great institutions of His kingdom and world, always there's always an authority. It's always established. It is always clear. Whether it's the family, in Ephesians 5, the husband is the head of the household. The wife is to be what? Submissive. Whether it's government, Romans 13, that those that rule over us should serve in a diaconate type way, is what Paul says, and we are to what? Submit to them unless they call us to disobey God. In the church, Christ is the head of the church. And that authority is seen and evidenced through the scriptures in the life, the teaching, and ruling ministry of the elders. So again, remember, consider, obey, be submissive, pray for is what we have here in our text. Again, look at verse 7. Remember those who rule over you. Remember those. That language we find used by Paul when he would write to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And then he says in verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love. And then we miss this right here. For their work's sake. For their work's sake, be at peace. Again, Peter would say in 1 Peter 5:1, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And then he used this word, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly. Again, there is this language of humble service and yet clear authority that's laid out in 1 Timothy 3:4. This is a mark of an elder. He must rule his household well. So there are men that rule by example, rule under the authority of Christ that they've been set in the church by the church, but gifted and called by Christ. It's ultimately where the authority comes from. And they are to be men that serve with great humility. Verse 7 also says there, speaking of the eldership, in this case here, there might have been elders of the past, he said, that who have spoken the word of God to you. There may have been some in this congregation, that is in the Hebrew congregation here, that had laid down their lives. And he wants them to remember those men who had spoke the word of God to them. And that's what elders and ministers of the gospel continue to do in that apostolic tradition, as Paul would say, because, again, writing to the Thessalonians, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And again, we find that as a truth in the New Testament, that the men of God are to give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to take heed to themselves and to their doctrine, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 4. And then last of all, there is not only to remember those men, but he says to follow them. Notice this. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you? And then he says, whose faith follow. And here we get the idea that this isn't some ruler in the Gentile sense who lords it over them, but this is the humble servant of Christ, because the word for follow here means to imitate. That is, the men who are ruling over the people of God are men who in their service that the people of God see and highly esteem and cherish their labor among them. And they want to imitate them. And the word he uses for considering it means to look over, back and forth in the mind. That is, to consider the outcome of their conduct. You see, that's the kind of submissiveness that we see here. Look to them as men said in the church. Imitate. Follow their faith. Look over their lives, back and forth, and the outcome of their conduct. Remember how Paul, in a very bold fashion, uses that kind of language in the New Testament. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, he says. Or when he says in 1 Corinthians 4:16, therefore I urge you, he says, imitate me. Wow. Paul could say that because Paul's goal and labor was to imitate who? It was to imitate Christ. To follow, imitate, consider, look over their lives and the outcome of their conduct. Which is to be, the outcome of their conduct is holiness of life and perseverance in faith. I think it is, especially not only relating to what Paul says in the pastoral epistles, but in this letter, the persecution that the Hebrew churches were, our church was under, and that great hall of fame of faith in chapter 11. And then verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive. And here's their work. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for them. So these faithful leaders, Brother Daniel being set apart, and you as the people of God, are to understand the status and the calling and the place where God has placed him and is placing him this afternoon. That there is to be a submissiveness. There is to be an understanding that they watch out for the souls of the people of God. Two quotes I added to this at the very end here that really struck out to me, and pertaining to within the community of God's people, the labor of the elders and then the submissiveness of the people of God and how that builds the body. One was by Latimer, the great English reformer. It was pertaining to Luke 2, verse 8. What we think of the Christmas story, the shepherds there. Keeping watch over their flock by night. This is what he says concerning that. Now these shepherds, I say, watch the whole night. They attend upon their vocation. They do according to their calling. They keep their sheep. They run, not here and there, spending the time in vain and neglecting their office and calling, here by these shepherds, all men may learn to attend upon their offices and callings. I would wish that clergymen, curates, the parsons, the vicars, the bishops, and all other spiritual persons would learn this lesson by these poor shepherds, which is this: to abide by their flocks, by their sheep, to tarry amongst them, to be careful over them, not to run here and there, actually he says hither and thither, after their own pleasure, but to tarry and feed their sheep with the food of God's word, and to be hospitable, and so as to feed them both soul and body. Leon Morse, again, another quote where he would speak of this mutual relationship between the elders, the leaders of the church, and the people of God. Morris says it this way: the church cannot be expected to do its work effectively if their followers are not loyally supporting the leaders. It's a matter of fact that we're often slow to realize to this day that effective leadership in the Church of Christ demands effective following. If we're continually critical of them that are set over us, small wonder if they're unable to perform the miracles that we demand of them. If we bear in mind the work's sake, we may be more inclined to esteem them very highly in love. So as this brother set apart, he and with the eldership, the plurality of the eldership that you all have here as of this day, they are to remember that they serve ultimately the great shepherd. And they serve after that model. That service in humility. And you as the people of God are to see who they are, set in the church by Christ and His gifting and His calling and affirmed here today. And that you submit to them, obey them, as you watch their lives, as they model an example before you as men of holiness and of faith according to God's word. May that mutually edify one another in the community of God's people, leadership in the congregation for the mutual good of the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we so easily take for granted your work in the midst of your people, among your people. We easily forget, Father, how you are moving, calling, gifting, placing people in places of service, what that means, the importance of that, the gravity of that. Father, it is your Son Christ who is the head of the church, who is the King of all kings, the Lord of lords. He reigns and He rules His people and His kingdom. As He rules and reigns over us, Father, those that are set in the church, I pray that you would cause them, Father, to see the importance, the severity of this calling, the seriousness of it. And yet, the one whom they ultimately serve, so that they might serve with great humility. I pray, Father, for your people here. We know our spirit. You know how easy, Father, we are rebellious people. It is in all of us. That you would call us, Father, to look to men who care, who watch over our souls with submission, prayer, concern for them as they care for us. So, Father, I pray that you would work here in this church of Christ Reformed. We'd see a powerful working of grace, maturity, the shaping of your people, Father, by your Spirit, by your Word, among the relationships of your people. We pray now, Father, you would be with our brother Daniel as he comes before this church body. We pray that you would bless him. You would work in him as he prepares to serve your people. We pray that you would be with him and Jeff over the coming days. That there would be mutual growth in the eldership and friendship as they serve alongside one another. We pray, Father, for the glory of your name and for the good of your church. In Jesus' name, amen.